The following podcast contains strong language and adult themes and is intended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Heinke Digital presents. Damocles. An audiobook podcast by Christian Heinke. Chapter 11. The Soul.
Wake up, Master.
Bridget's voice pulled Sherber from unconsciousness. He groggily opened his eyes, feeling a throbbing pain in his head. As he touched it, he realized there was dried blood on his fingers, and more blood pooled on the floor. Damn, he muttered. What happened? Bridget, his helper, replied,
A male android broke in through the air shaft and knocked you out. A service robot assisted him.
Sherber frowned in confusion. But the androids should be empty shells now. How is this possible? Bridget hesitated before responding.
I think Chief Inspector Lenka transferred his mind into an android using the silver box.
Sherber swore under his breath. That arm was a distraction. Lenka never fails to surprise. He pushed himself up, using the machine for support as the room spun around him, but he remained focused. Bridget, do we have anything that burns easily? She looked concerned but answered,
Yes, I can show you where it is.
Sherber stumbled forward, grateful for the safety systems he had invested in. They might have saved his life today. Where's Lincoln now? He asked.
He's in the freight elevator with the prisoners, the service robot, and another android,
Bridget replied.
He's blocked my control of the elevator with the robot's help. A human couldn't do that alone.
Sherber grinned. What about the speakers?
I can use those, but I can't create sounds that can harm anyone.
Bridget explained. Sherber's eyes brightened. That's fine, I have a plan. The elevator ascended slowly as Sam sniffed my hand and whined. I know, girl. I smell different, but I'm still me, I promise. Vincent, the robot, interjected.
That dog won't recognize you as Joseph Lenka anymore. You'll need to make friends again.
I felt a surge of anger. Sam will always know me, always. Got that tin can?
Wishing doesn't make it true, Chief Inspector.
It's called hope, Vincent.
Hope isn't logical.
Now I understand why Simon sometimes got upset with you. Vincent fell silent. After a moment, he asked,
Did Simon really not like working with me?
I sighed, realizing I could even irritate a robot. I'd think about that later, if I lived long enough. No, Vincent, Simon liked you a lot. I like you too, but you're being too blunt right now.
I see,
Vincent replied. Suddenly, a voice crackled through the speakers. It was Paul Sherber, not Bridget.
How amusing. I'm standing over your dead body, pouring fuel on it. At least it won't smell so bad.
I remained silent. What could I say?
Do you understand how your new body works? Do you know where it gets its power?
I said nothing. I had no idea what he was talking about.
I'll take that as a no. You'll have to kill to live. You're a vampire now. Can you handle that, Lenka?
I don't believe you, I shouted.
No? Wake up your new friend and see. What do you think she did to the guards?
I glanced at the female android on the couch, then at the silver box. I heard a lighter click over the speakers.
Cortez burned his ships in the New World. Want to push, Lenka?
What do you want, Sherber?
Nothing. I have everything I need. Now I'm burning it all. Your kind will be gone, except for you two.
Unless what?
Unless you bring me the silver box.
I can't. Siv is in there. You can't have it.
Her life for your friends. Fair trade.
The elevator finally stopped and the doors opened. I pushed the gurneys out. Get the girls to safety, Vincent. Take care of Sam, I instructed.
Don't do it, Chief Inspector. It's a trap. You'll end up like Siv.
We'll see, I replied, closing the door.
You're making a mistake. Wishing doesn't make it true.
We'll see, I said again as I pressed the button for the bottom floor. The elevator descended with me inside. Bridget appeared in Sherber's line of sight. He remained by Lenka's wheelchair, lighting a slender cigarillo.
It worked. He's coming back. But for what reason?
Because Lenka represents the everyman, Bridget. He holds beliefs, fulfills civic duties, and meticulously sorts his trash.
He is trapped by the misguided idea that a man like him need only act for everything to be right. He cannot comprehend the complete insignificance of both his actions and his very existence.
So this means he's doomed to die? Like this bitch Civ?
Bridget asked. Exactly, Bridget. Prepare for it.
What about the robot and the girls?
They've outlived their usefulness. I've secured the girls' vital data. Transfer all information from our local storage to the cloud. Once we've dealt with Lenka, we'll burn this place to the ground and leave. I've never had any attachment to this location anyway.
As you command, Master.
I descended, anxious about my decision. I was aware of the trap. I wasn't naive. However, I couldn't discern its nature. Civ, who was clever in many ways, had already fallen victim to Sherber's deception. I needed to uncover what she had discovered. I paused and opened the silver box. Closing my eyes tightly, I focused on clearing my mind, allowing my thoughts to drift as I waited to reconnect with my inner flow. I found myself engulfed in darkness once more. Civ, I called out. Civ appeared, looking exactly as she had when Sherber killed her. Her hair was singed, her skin reddened from electricity, and her eyes were white, devoid of sight. As she drew closer, the smell of burnt hair filled the air. Her hand was dry and black, resembling a dead root. I recalled the first time she touched me here. I had liked it then, but not now. She reached out and touched my face with her withered hand. "Holborn, why are you here?" she asked. "I'm not Holborn, dear," I replied. My voice sounded different, but Civ didn't seem to notice. "Joseph, why are you in this body? What are you doing here?" "I need to know something before I confront Sherber." "You want to know what we feed these bodies, right?" I nodded. "Did Sherber tell you?" "He did. I saw what was left of the guards. Was that you?" Civ nodded. "Yes, my body was weak. I needed energy." "Why don't I feel weak?" "This power is temporary. It's in emergency mode. You'll need new life energy soon or you'll be helpless." "Great. Sherber will come for you first." "How did he get you?" "Our bodies are vulnerable to electricity."
"We need energy but can't handle electricity?"
"It's about the right kind of energy. It's complex." "So I'm like a vampire now?" "If you can't return to your old body, yes. Sherber will probably get me first, just like you." "He tricked me with his assistant. I was careless."
"I need your help to defeat him."
"I don't know how. Just do better than I did." "I need an idea. Fast." Civ looked down. "I'm tired, Joseph. I'm out of ideas." I grabbed her shoulders. "Come on, Civ, are you really going to let someone like him win? He only has money and technology. I won't let him beat me twice." "Give up, Joseph. He's stronger. Accept it." I released her and nodded, not in agreement, but because her words sparked an idea. I focused and left the stream. Back to reality. The freight elevator came to a stop, and water began seeping through the grate. The entire corridor was submerged. Sherber likely wanted to eliminate me, just as Civ had done before, using electricity. I could still smell her singed hair. Exhausted and weak, my new android body slowly began to shut down. Leaning against the back wall of the freight elevator, I slid down to the floor, feeling my legs and underpants grow wet. Fantastic. My tombstone would read, "Died looking good in the wrong body and wet pants." In my right hand, I held the silver box while I raised my left hand to give Sherber the middle finger when he found me. "Fuck you, Sherber," I thought before my eyes fell shut. Sherber awaited the arrival of the large elevator, water swirling around his feet. He held a power cord he had pulled from the now useless machine, keeping it elevated above the water. He had no intention of drowning. As the elevator descended, he caught sight of Lenka in his new, youthful body, leaning against the wall with his eyes shut. Lenka raised his middle finger at Sherber, prompting a chuckle and a shake of the head. Sherber liked the old man, but regrettably he would have to kill him. In Lenka's other hand was the silver box. Sherber licked his lips, thinking, "There it is. Good old Lenka came through." When the elevator door opened, water rushed in, flooding the floor. Despite the cold water numbing his toes, Lenka remained motionless. Sherber wondered if it was a trap or if the android had run out of power after being stored away for nearly 20 years. Its battery must be dead by now. Lenka could be trapped in this artificial body, awake but unable to move. What a sight, Sherber thought, gripping the power cord tighter. But it could still be a trap. He stood still and waited. 1 minute passed, then two. As the third minute began, with Lenka still unmoving, Sherber dropped the pretense. The power cord vanished. His pants appeared normal again. His fake leather shoes returned, and he wore a jacket once more.
The android is out of power,
the assistant told his master. Sherber received feedback from his assistant system as he removed the last holographic memory crystal from the server on the office floor and placed it into a shoulder bag. Are you sure about this? He asked.
Absolutely. Lenka is trapped inside the android with the silver box. Unfortunately, I cannot retrieve it, so you must do it personally,
the assistant system replied. Excellent. I'm on my way down, Sherber said, grinning as he triumphantly struck the server with his fist. All right, let's go. Yes. He slung the bag over his shoulder. With this data, he could store numerous brain records in his implant. He had succeeded. Nothing could stop him now. Light on his feet, Sherber hurried down the stairs to the laboratory level. As he stepped off the last stair and into the water, he let out a frustrated sigh. Darn it, I ruined my shoes. But it didn't matter. Nothing mattered anymore. Jobs, Musk, or Bezos were insignificant compared to him. Soon, he would possess a strength unparalleled by any other being. He waded through the water, playfully splashing it with his shoes, reveling in his good mood. Reaching the freight elevator, he saw his reflection still standing guard over the rigid android body inside. He nodded at his assistant system. Okay, I'll handle it now. He took a pistol from his shoulder bag and entered the elevator. Kneeling in front of Lenka, he pressed the gun against the android's temple. Sherber was shrewd, not foolish. He understood the danger these androids posed. He would proceed cautiously with this one, especially since there was an old fossil inside it. He unlocked the gun and cocked the trigger while using his other hand to search for the silver box. I was never particularly devout in my faith. My parents had me baptized, and I attended confirmation classes as expected. I went through the confirmation ceremony dutifully, mainly because I could finally buy a long-awaited game console with money from relatives. In my youth, I made foolish decisions. As an adult, influenced by my wife, I briefly strayed from being a sporadic churchgoer, attending only on Easter and Christmas. After her passing, I struggled deeply with my faith and felt no desire to set foot in a church since. The world continued to change, with some improvements but many setbacks, particularly in the Ruhr area. People lost their jobs, and those who remained shared them with machines that learned everything, rendering humans unnecessary. Employers and machines did not bid farewell. However, in recent years, conditions improved. People had time for new ideas, leading to the creation of new companies and jobs. A citizen's income eased the worst hardships, and car traffic decreased, making cities more livable. Nearby, a drive-by church welcomed cyclists after the traffic changes. I had never visited it, as my anger towards God still lingered. One day, however, I stepped inside. An exhibition was taking place featuring paintings inspired by Bible quotes. One painting caught my attention. The artist, whose name I cannot recall, depicted the Earth as seen from space, a beautiful, fragile blue marble in the vastness of the cosmos. The painting was titled Soul. The Bible verse associated with it came from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 36. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It felt like a sudden realization. The quote, paired with the image, revealed everything that was wrong in the world, and with those who believed they could control it as they pleased. I committed this quote to memory because it resonated deeply with me. That's why it kept running through my mind as I awaited my second demise, in damp underpants.
Chief Inspector Lenka,
Bob's voice echoed in my mind, subdued and intermittent.
The energy of this body is at 3%. Higher cognitive functions are on the verge of shutting down.
Don't worry, Bob. It's all about to end anyway.
2%.
I heard Sherber cautiously approaching. It was the real Sherber. His excited, rapid breathing grew louder as he neared. I heard the metallic click of the gun he was carrying and felt the pressure of the barrel against my temple. I felt his searching fingers seeking the silver box in my hand. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Could someone like Sherber, who thought he was above everything because of his immense wealth, grasp the meaning of those words? Or was his spirit and soul so corroded by greed and hubris that there was no turning back for him?
1%.
I concluded there was still hope. I raised my left hand in a flash and firmly gripped the barrel of the gun, pushing it up a few inches. I squeezed as hard as I could, breaking Sherber's fingers. A shot rang out, echoing in my ears. The bullet pierced the basket of the freight elevator and lodged in the concrete wall of the shaft. In half a second, my right hand was already up, the silver box still in my grasp. I used it as brass knuckles and slammed it against Sherber's temple. I knew it wouldn't knock him out, but it threw him off balance. Then I threw myself forward and tackled him. I tucked the silver box into my underpants, hoping Siv would forgive me for that. I knelt on top of Sherber. He looked at me, unable to believe I had taken him by surprise. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I asked him. He just stared at me, his face twisted in pain. I smiled at him and then leaned down, pressing my mouth to his, taking what I could.
No!
Bridget and the boy yelled from the speakers on the floor. For a moment I saw them running in the dark, moving like scared rabbits. Then red swords pierced them. They fell and disintegrated into pixels. Then it was over. I can't fully describe the sensation of absorbing Sherber's life energy. It felt like waking up in the middle of the night after a severe flu, only to find that your body reassures you in the morning that everything is back to normal. As I rummaged through Sherber's pockets, I found a Zippo lighter that appeared to be made of pure gold. I paused to examine it before shifting my gaze to the doll room. Then I stood up. I dragged my lifeless body and Siv's charred remains into the storage room. For a moment I stood there staring at my corpse. It felt surreal to see myself like that. My body was still damp with a highly flammable substance. I retrieved the lighter and ignited it. Rest in peace, Joseph Lenka, I whispered. Then I tossed the burning lighter onto my body. Instantly, bright flames erupted. Our clothes ignited and the fire spread rapidly. As the heat intensified, I stepped back, exited the room, and shut the door behind me. I operated the freight elevator lever, and it glided upward. Flames flickered in the doll room while smoke billowed from the crevices. The thickening smoke followed me as I ascended the stairs. From Sherber's lifeless body, I retrieved the gun and tucked it into my shoulder bag, along with the silver box. I briefly considered taking his clothes, but he had always been slender, even in life, and with my new physique I now wore a size double extra large. I reached the parking deck without further incident. After slinging the shoulder bag over my shoulder, I exited the freight elevator and scanned the area. One of the drone copters was missing. Next to the empty parking spot lay two vacant gurneys where the girls had been. I assumed Vincent and Bob had taken the girls along with the female android body. A short flight of stairs led upward from the parking deck. I climbed the steps. Upon reaching the next floor, I stood before a gray steel door. A sign on it read, Ausgang. I paused for a moment. Weren't we in Washington? Shouldn't it say exit? Perhaps this android body had a simultaneous translation feature in its augmented reality. I pushed the handle. The door was unlocked, and I opened it, stepping through. I found myself outside on a dark, chilly November night. The sky was partly cloudy, revealing a scattering of stars. As I looked up, I noticed a rocket streaking across the sky, likely one departing from Frankfurt and set to land in New York half an hour later. The surroundings were quiet and serene, prompting me to pause and reconcile my location with reality. I struggled to accept that I was not in Washington or even in the United States, but in Bochum, Germany, in the West Park. It was in this park that Goldschmidt had encountered Siv. They had concealed a secret research facility underground here. Goldschmidt had managed to smuggle out a silver box, only to be ambushed by Bridget, acting on Sherber's orders, who struck him with a cargo drone's container. As I scanned the sky, I noticed a drone hovering above the West Park, but it was unarmed, no container in sight. A smile tugged at my lips until the click of a trigger shattered the stillness. I turned to see someone standing to the right of the door, aiming a gun at my head. "Don't move, old man," the figure commanded.
It was Hubert Siska.
A game of life where death awaits. A hero descends to steal his fate. The soul is more
than flesh and bone.
The soul
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Heinke Digital Audiobook Podcasts and its author, Christian Heinke, please visit heinke.digital.